Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Once Upon a Time's Fear the sorry. Welcome to the VRO Once Upon a Time recap show. I just had something caught in my throat. It's not because this episode completely destroyed me or anything. I think your first hint that this episode was horrible is because it was called Swan Song. And last time I watched a episode called Swan Song, it was Supernatural. And for any Supernatural fans, you all know how that episode went. On the line with me, I have Emily, but I'm pretty sure she's just as emotionally distraught as I am. So if we start crying on the show, it just might happen. Fair warning.
Fair, you've been warned. There will be a lot of tears. There were a lot of tears last night. And
there were very many
I think at this point I've moved on from the sadness, and I've just kind of become, like, empty inside.
Yeah, I'm kind of at that point, too, because I've been watching sad videos all day of Captain Swan and rewatching the scenes over and over, just because, you know, I like to torture myself.
Same. Punishment.
Yeah, I was in Orlando last night, actually, at a once party with all my oncer friends. Like, oh, let's all watch it together. And my friend Sarah and I were the only, like, big Captain Swan shippers out there. So we were holding our hand and just gross sobbing in front of the TV, and everyone was just handing us alcohol. It was pretty horrible.
To cope with what was going on. I was sitting alone on my couch, and I'm not even going to lie, like, okay, we obviously knew this was coming. Like, we've been saying this for weeks. We knew Hook was going to die. We knew he was going to
sell himself.
I totally saw it coming. But, so when it actually happened, like, at first, I, like, really wasn't I'm like, okay, I knew this was going to happen. Like, I thought I was prepared to deal with it. And then I don't even remember what it was. I think it was when he, like, asked to die a hero. I honestly just lost it. Like, I started crying. And I'm, like, emotional, but in kind of more of, like, a verbal way. Like, I don't, like, I cry. But, like, I feel like a lot of times I, like, overreact verbally to things that happen on TV shows. But I don't actually really, like, cry, like, really hard. But I just, like, started crying. Like, I was sobbing. It was so bad. I was just like, I don't think I've cried that hard in a TV episode. Well, maybe Chicago Fire or something recently. But, like, the biggest thing I can think of is, like, the series finale of How I Met Your Mother. Like, I sobbed through a lot of that. And this was, like, the day I just kind of burst. And I was kind of surprised because I knew it was coming. But I don't really know why it hit me so hard. It just kind of, this just happened.
Yeah, Sarah started crying first, and I was already, like, kind of emotional because I knew it was coming. And when I've been this emotionally invested into a show, usually anything can make me cry at a drop of a hat, depending on, like, who it is. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll just start crying for, like, pointless reasons. So Sarah started crying first, and I just kind of looked over, and then I lost it. And then, his whole speech about wanting to die a hero and want him to be the hero, the guy that she remembers him by. I don't even want to talk about it right now yet. Yeah. So the beginning of the episode started with a little baby Killian afraid of the dark. So automatically this episode is already painful because you know what flashback it was going to be is when his dad abandoned him and Liam, which I totally forgot Liam was going to be there too. Because for some reason, I thought it was only Killian.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Liam's there too. And I was like, oh. And that little kid was completely adorable. And
his
dad's an asshole.
Yes. Sorry, Adam. We loved your performance, but your character is a real McAsshole.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of disappointed with the build-up that we got for his father. I think it might be also because he's not the ferryman. or at least we still don't
know
if he is.
Not that we know of right now.
Not that we know of yet. I mean, maybe he changed
Rachel.
His name.
There's still plenty of opportunity. I still am betting that when it Hook, because we didn't see Hook in the underworld, we just know that he's dead. And we assume that that's where he went, obviously. So I feel like he's going to meet, if his father isn't Davy Jones, he's going to meet up with him down there for sure. Like, there's no way, like, they keep saying, like, Hook's backstory is going to become really important for him. Like, he's going to have to face all of these things, like, in the underworld. And I have a feeling his brother and his dad and what he did to him, like, it's going to all come back. And whether or not his dad or his new brother is Davy Jones,
yes, I was also thinking it could be his other brother. The new brother.
The new Liam.
I was like,
Liam 2.0, I call him.
Liam 2.0. That's such a horrible thing to do. Oh, my other kid, I left him, so I just had another one, and then I named it after my other kid.
It's like, almost as bad as naming your new son after your daughter's ex-boyfriend.
Yes. Your daughter's brother, after the man who ruined her life.
No, it's fine. Names don't matter, right?
It's fine. No, it's good. Yeah, but I felt like his father's arc was built up a lot more than what we got from it. And I did not like the fact that Regina was involved. That kind
of
thing. Because she's involved in every single backstory ever.
Cheapened it a little bit to me. Like, I feel like I didn't mind so much that, like, in the flashbacks it was her, like, that, you know, kind of was, like, putting into the test. Like, I was totally fine with all that. But it was just the fact that in the end it was her, like, reminding him that was, like, what kind of sparked his, like, want need and wants to, like, do the right thing. I was like, why? Like, him and Regina have, like, no connection at all besides, like, the past few interactions they had, like, working together.
And the mega sex eyes they had going on in that flashback.
Yes.
I'm just going to throw that out there. They had super chemistry.
Besides that and the fact that they ended up with Cora, they really have no connection at all. So I thought it was kind of weird that she was the one being like, remember the really want to be. I was like, shouldn't Emma be the one telling him this?
It just bothers me that she's in everyone's backstory. Like,
true.
And that means she's been alive for a long time.
Put her in the evil queen costume, honestly.
True.
It's probably what it is.
And the cleavage.
Episode of Once Upon a Time with a flashback without the cleavage.
Nope. But
I do. I admit though, this was one of my favorite Regina costumes because I really liked that red, and the fact that hair had and it was really cool. So I appreciate it. I appreciated the costume and everything because it looks really awesome and just.
Yeah, I'm adding that to my cosplay list. I don't know how I'm gonna make that ever, but you know, it's on my list. the whole thing that aggravated me is it doesn't match up with the timeline of him going after Cora, because she sent, like, when she met Hook in the tower with Belle, it was the same time that she sent him through the portal, but then she's in a different outfit in this flashback, and it bothered me. Because technically the day she met him was the day she sent him through the portal.
Yeah, that is kind of funky. Like, I don't know how they could really explain that. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I know timelines are wonky on here, but that one was one that you could have, like, easily fixed.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, it doesn't really make sense when you think about, like, it's true. He met her, and, like, within hours, she, like, sent him through the portal to Wonderland. So, trying to figure out, I don't know, just interesting, I guess. They wear the same clothes a lot, I guess. That's the explanation that you can come up with, is that Snow
always
wears.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
She, like, outfit. She just wanted to wear
Regina,
it again.
Regina,
okay,
who has
Rachel.
Five outfit changes. I did love his comment where he's like, if I knew you were going to take this long to do your hair.
That
so maybe
very...
she did actually change.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it was.
She's like, I can't wear this blue dress out. I have to put pants on. I have to wear my red outfit out. You go sit in the field and I'll be back. And then when
Apparently.
They got back to the castle, she changed back into her blue one because that's her castle dress.
Clearly.
I don't know.
She needs
I'm overthinking
her staffy
it.
Red outfit
it's
on the road.
Yeah. It just bothers me sometimes. And the timeline when his dad was like, I left at least over a century ago or almost a century ago. Wasn't Hook in Neverland for like 300 years or like 200 or 250?
Probably, though I feel like the wording was like vague on purpose. Like he said over a century ago, so it's like clearly that could be like 250 years, like who knows. It's more than 100 years, and that's all that really matters. Like,
well,
they both
I
been taking it like 100 plus
for
years longer than they should have, so.
I need specifics for my Once Upon a Time timeline that I've got going on.
So the thing that confuses me more is that, so how long was he in this said sleeping curse before a nurse came and was nursing him and taking care of him? Because if it was like 100 years, this nurse chick would either have to have come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he wasn't
and
alive for 100 years.
Years of it. So it's like he was chilling for like 98 years, and then the last like two, this chick shows up. I just don't. That
yeah.
didn't make any sense to me at all.
That was like just like, a total cop out explanation of him being.
No, I really wanted it to be like that was the perfect opportunity for them him to be like, yeah, no, I'm totally this underworld ferryman dude. Like,
it's like such a missed opportunity. And we could have had some more of Adam.
Yeah.
No,
we don't know. We don't know yet. We don't know if it is or isn't going to be. So I guess we'll have to wait.
Well, I'm
sure.
giving up hope on that almost. I'm very close to giving up hope on that theory. Because Hook was actually evil this entire time.
This is true.
He didn't plan it. He didn't have a whole plan. Which really pisses me off because
I'm kind of okay with it.
I'm like kind of okay with it, but I'm also like really he got bested by Rumple like that, or like there's just certain parts of like it. I was just like really.
Yeah, like I feel like he definitely, like he knew what he was doing. He kind of like manipulated the situation, and like a true Dark One would. And I just feel like it makes, like, as much as I would have loved it to have been, like, how Emma was, where she was, like, gung-ho, like, the whole time was, like, trolling the darkness, I feel like that, if you really think about it, like, that really wouldn't make sense for Hook. Like, his, like, redemption as a good man is pretty fresh. Like,
yeah,
it's been, like, 2 years. Like, he was evil for 300 years-ish. So I feel like it makes sense that he kind of slipped. It's basically the analogy that I saw, which made a lot of sense, is that Emma is like, he is like an alcoholic, which he kind of is, but he's an addict, kind of like Rumple is, and he's more willing to fight it off than Rumple. But so Emma took a bottle and force fed it down his throat. Didn't even give him, like, a sip. She literally dumped the whole thing down his throat. Like, what did we really expect to happen? Like, he wasn't just going to stay the same. I don't know. I'm on the boat of, I think it works. I think it was true to his character that he would slip so fast because he just barely, you know,
it wasn't,
turned over.
It wasn't that he
side.
Slipped so fast. It was the fact that, like, he was bested by, like, Rumple and some rope, and it happened with Emma in this episode. Like, she's literally talking to Killian and fighting him, and then oh look, Henry just shows up without the door opening, and she's like, oh here, take Excalibur. I was like, really? Like, come on. Like,
yeah,
it's just sometimes they get really stupid and I just want to slap them.
Yeah, it sucks that Hook was kind of like tricked by the darkness, but I see. I liked the way that it, you know, ended up, and I think it made it better, like, in terms of, like, his
yeah.
redemption. Because if it would have been him, like, trolling it all, this whole time, like, he had this master plan, it would feel, like, weird, because he had, like, zero time to come up with it. Like, as much as he's been hunting the Dark One, I don't think he would have had this masterful plan. He didn't know who Nimue was. He didn't know any of his stuff until, like, 2 days ago. So, I feel like he wouldn't have had any time to patch together this intricate plan. So, I think I like the way it turned out where, you know, he kind of, like, reflected on his past. And then he saw, like, Emma in pain, and that kind of, like, jolted him. And he realized, like, no, like, I fought too hard to be a good person. Like, I'm not going to let you manipulate me anymore. Because he basically just, like, let the darkness, like, take the reins and kind of run wild with him. Like, I don't think
mm-hmm.
he cared. He just kind of let it happen. He just didn't think
yeah.
it was worth it.
I think because he was, like, so upset at Emma for doing that to him and
yeah.
not trusting him.
I'm going to get back at you by just letting the darkness do whatever it wants with me. Because when he said, it doesn't matter if you're being used, if you know you're being used. It's like, that's how
exactly.
he felt. Like, he was willing to let the darkness do whatever it wanted, as long as he was going to get some kind of satisfaction out of it in the end, which would have been, you know, killing Rumpel. Which, I'm like, you could have just gone and killed the guy. He's not magical anymore. Why did you have
that's
to
what I don't understand.
Dark plan? Like, you literally could have just went and stabbed him, and he would have died. Why did
and
you
it would have been great. It would have been the best thing ever.
It really would have. It would have been a service to us all, because Lord knows at this point now he is the highest on the highest of the highest of the highest shit list that has ever existed in my life in terms of characters. Like,
I am so done. I was willing. Okay, I hate myself for the fact that I was willing to give him one more chance because he had a clean slate. And even with a clean slate and a quote-unquote hero heart, he still chose the darkness. There was no darkness in him whispering in his ear. There was no darkness forcing him to do it. He made the choice himself to take the power from Killian. And Killian died for nothing now. And I really wanted Emma to punch him in the face. Like, I was waiting for her to just, like, punch him in the face. And
I know, I really...
It didn't happen.
Especially off all the times she said, maybe I should just punch you in the face. I really wanted her to
just
really punch you.
It was perfect. It would have been really perfect.
But it goes back to, like, how when the very beginning of the episode, when Killian kind of, like, went to kind of goad at Rumpel about, haha, like, you might have won the battle, but I'm going to win the war kind of thing. And
I feel like that's what pushed Rumpel to do it, too.
He did it on purpose. To provoke Rumpel, because I'm sure he caught wind that Belle kind of left him high
mm-hmm.
and dry again. So he just wanted to push his buttons and make him suffer. And he wanted to prove that even as a quote-unquote hero, Rumpel is still, like, the same guy that he's always been, cowardly, who grasps for power, you know, who's weak without power, like, he's never going to give it up. So he, like, just had to throw it in his face, like, haha, all that power that you used to have, well, now I have it, and it feels so good. So,
yeah.
I was not surprised when at the end it was like, we found out that Rumpel has not changed a single bit, because, hello, like, look what happened. He charged that hook, like, same as he always would have, and it's like, yeah, I knew this whole time that it was either going to be he was going to take a step in the right direction, or he was going to fall so fast back into the pit of darkness. And look what he did.
Yep. I will say I still love the Hook and Crocodile story arc, and I will never get tired of that because they have such great chemistry.
Oh, good.
Together, Robbie and Colin, like, it's perfect.
I know.
And as much as I hate Rumpelstiltskin, I do love him being the villain. I just, if he tries to play the whole, oh, I'm good, I'm on your side again, if he tries to play that crap, I'm done. But if he's just going to be full-blown villain from now on, I'm okay with.
Yeah. I'm also, like, wondering where he's going to go from there. Because it's like, okay, Emma knows that
they
he's
all
the
know.
Dark One. So I'm guessing
he
now at this
them.
Point they all know. So besides Belle, because obviously she's always the one left out in the dark. So I'm just, like, wondering if it's going to be more of him just, like, having his magic back and being powerful, or if he's going to get tempted, you know, because they're all, you know, going to the underworld at this point. Like, Hook, they're going to save Hook, and Rumple is going with them. So he's obviously going to face all of these people in the underworld who, like, he wronged. And I'm like, when they come back, is he just going to be, like, so, like, just embedded in, like, the darkness because he had to face all these people? Like, I don't really know where they're going to go with him from here.
Like, my crazy theory is Emma will make a deal with Hades and trade Rumple for Hook, or just flat out kills him to bring Killian back.
That would be ideal, but we'll see.
Like, I'm honestly ready for Rumble to die. I don't care how awesome Robert Carlyle is.
I hate
Rumble so much.
Since he, like, has fallen back, you know, back down the rabbit hole, like, for the 50 millionth time. I think at this point,
once again,
they're pretty
much lying to her.
I think they're pretty much setting him up to be, like, the final, like, obstacle in the series. Like, you know, like, he's just going to be bad.
Because he has the darkness of every single Dark One. It's not just, like
whenever
him as the Dark One.
Yeah. Like, whenever the end comes for the show, which might not be for, you know, another couple of years, like, I feel like he's going to be, like, the end-all, be-all, like, evil that they have to defeat to be finally happy. Because he, you know,
he's, like, the
embodiment of all darkness now. So he might be able to, you know, wallow in the shallows for a while and not really do anything with that and just hold on to the power for, like, his own benefit. But once something's going to go wrong, he's going to, like, turn to the dark side and side with whatever, you know, evil people that come into town. So I just don't know. It's so frustrating because I'm just, like, I'm, like, kind of over it. I'm really over it. I'm just, like,
I'm so over Rumple and Rumble,
like,
and
it's not interesting anymore. Like, really?
No.
Like,
it's the same story over and over and over.
Yeah. You try to redeem him, you kind of do it with the Pan thing. He actually sacrifices himself. He actually dies. Then he gets
brought
back to life.
They should not have brought him back.
Yeah.
They just shouldn't have
brought
him back.
Yeah, it's like, okay, his son gave up his life to save dad so that they could save town. You know, he had this information. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He got locked up. Like, all these things happen, and I'm just like, okay. But then it's like, he goes back to being the same old stupid guy, and I'm just, like, over it. Like, okay, at least at this point, if he's going to be bad, he needs to be bad. Like, no more of his BS, like, pretending he's a good person, like, halfway between thing. Like, he either needs to be, like, 100% bad and, like, totally unapologetic about it or nothing. Because I just...
Yeah, that's how I am at this point with him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so over it. Y'all, one thing that I found... Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to say, at least we can rest easy knowing Belle's not going to be dragged into this for at least half the season, because I'm sure they're not going to use Emily Durabin because she's going to go have a baby. So, at least we won't have to deal with that toxic terribleness for a while.
One thing I did love is how they're like, all of them gave up hope, like, in 5 minutes. They're like, oh, let's just go eat dinner. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, even Emma was like, really? It's, like, in your blood. Like, we're just going to go eat dinner at Granny's and call it a day. I was like, that's, like, a bit out of character for them. Because usually they'd be trying till, like, the last minute. And I get wanting to spend time with the family. But they still gave up extremely fast for them.
Maybe by the 10th time around, having, like, being in this, like, desolate life or death situation, she finally just decided, well, you know what? Screw it. We're just gonna let it be, and we're gonna spend our last moments, like, together. Which I don't blame her, because, like, like, of all the things that were staring them in the face in the past, like, okay, the Snow Queen, yeah, not that big of a problem in comparison to literally every single Dark One in the entire existence of ever trying to come back and snuff out all the light forever. I feel like that's a little bit more of a bleaker thing than, like, Zelina or the Snow Queen or Peter Pan. Like, that's, like, kind of really deep and depressing, and they were literally about to get dragged to hell. So,
Yeah.
Like, it does suck that they weren't willing to put up more of a fight, but honestly, they really couldn't have done anything. Like, they were powerless.
Yeah.
Like, Emma, sure, she's a Dark One, she has powers, but literally the rest of them did not stand a chance. So, good for them for, like, realizing, like, we should just spend this time enjoying our family because we're not, whatever we do isn't going to do anything. Like, Emma, yes, you have the chance to stop this, and we're going to let you do it, but we're not
going
to
help
you.
Yeah, Emma, you go take care of this. We're going to go have dinner. I'll see you later, though.
And low look, we're going to bring out our baby for the first time in, like, 9 episodes.
Yeah. Speaking of babies.
Man. She just get left behind. She's cared for by Granny or the fairies or whoever.
No, fairies. I would not leave my child in the hands of Blue. Sorry. They left all the kids with the fairies. Like, at least they gave us an explanation this time.
I know. But the funny thing is that they expect the fairies to show up at Granny's to take Neil. Like, they just know it. If we don't come back, they'll know. They're like, if we don't come back in 20 minutes, that means we were dragged to the underworld, so you're going to need to make sure all the children in the town are safe.
I like how they keep giving these characters children, and then they're never on screen. And then they don't age either.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Neil should be, like, almost a year old by now.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only issue with, like, having pregnancy plot lines on TV shows. Unless it's, like, a family show where it's, like, about a family and it's just centered around a family and this character is going to grow up. Like, most of the time, it's just, like, a plot device. So, like, just skip the kids. Because really, like, you're going to mention it, like, 3 times. You're going to have them hold a baby, like, pretend it's off napping, and then you're going to, like, one day magically poop in, like, a 2-year-old. And then...
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Obviously, this is just another way for them to get away from having to talk about a baby because they're going to be gone for who knows. I'm surprised Snow was like, yeah, let me just leave my newborn, well, who knows, 6-month-old baby behind when I was, like, not even willing to let him go, like, for 5 seconds
that
before.
That drives me crazy. And she's like,
I'm
we
like,
missed
what?
Everything, David. We missed her first. Like, where's her first? Blah, 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 blah. And, like, I'm pretty sure she pulled the kid, like, maybe, like, twice.
So, like,
like, I get you're helping your other kid.
Yeah. In reality, though, these, like, journeys that they go on are really only, like, a week long. Like, they seem like a long time to us because we get, like, 1 hour at a time.
Camelot was 6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks, which isn't that bad. The longest it's been is, like, they were gone for, what, like, a year? But then, like, that was when they were all together in the Enchanted Forest, like, all these little, like, rescue mission journeys they've gone on have been, like, less than a month or two. So it's like, okay, you're not leaving forever, but still.
But still, your child's alone.
Yeah, and a newborn baby, which is even worse, because literally it is days old. Days old.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how they got rid of Zelina, and then they're like, it's fine, the fairies will watch the baby. It's totally fine. We gotta go.
I know, right? And it's like, well, one, I feel like, obviously, like, the Zelina thing was just another way for them to, like, not just, like, file a character away so they don't have to worry about referencing her for a hot sec. Like, obviously, she's gonna find her way back, Zelina.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just, like, they just kind of tucked her away on the cabinet counter, or in the cabinet, and they're going to pull her out when they're ready to play with her again, which, you know, sucks that it happens.
Okay.
But it will be okay.
I mean, she really had no plot anymore. When she had the baby, she had no more plot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then.
She was just there to deliver kind of sassy one-liners and make things funnier.
She was comic relief.
We will miss her sass. We don't know when it will return, but for now, hashtag bye, Zelina. See you later.
Yeah. The whole diner scene hurt my heart because Emma looked so sad, and it was kind of like flashbacks to when she would look in on the diner and they're all having fun again. And then when she left the diner, there was Hook watching them again. And there was just so many parallels to when they did that separately before they were Dark Ones and when they were Dark Ones. And I was just like, oh, it just hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just that whole thing, how she, like, left behind the note. And then, like, as she was leaving, she's like, I'm sorry. It's the only way that I can, like, make up for what I've done. Just slow clap it out. For literally, she's, like, the Dark One, yet she's still the savior. Like, oh, my God. Freaking Emma. Like, a league of her own in terms of being heroic. Yeah. And then, freaking Rumpel had the freaking audacity to be like, you're a brave woman, Emma Swan. When he knew what he was doing, like, oh, livid. Like, at that point, he clearly didn't care if it was Emma or Killian that died, as long as somebody was going to die.
Yeah.
And so he could transfer his little powers to himself. I was like, screw you. You're the worst, and I hate you a lot, like, forever.
And then the fact that he had the audacity to look shocked when Hook died, like, oh, no. I was like, Why would he bother showing his face right now?
I know. I was like, I actually felt like, oh, wow. Like, Rumpel, like, for what? Like, you know, when he was like, no, we should just give up. Like, we should just say goodbye to the ones we love. Like, I really thought, like, oh, maybe, you know, like, Rumpel, and when he didn't, like, try to make a deal for the dad, like, the sword, all this stuff, I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's all kind of like a step in the right direction. Like, look at what's happening. And then he actually looked sad over the fact that Emma was, like, crying over Killian dying and that she had to kill him and all this stuff. And I'm like, you little...
Duh.
I have a lot of choice words that I not say, but I have a lot of them. Like, screw
Ditto.
You. You're the worst, and I can't talk about it anymore because I will just go on, like, a 20-hour rampage with a lot of bad, bad, bad words.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. It made me so mad. Especially when, like, Emma's in the shop, and he's like, oh, this isn't Granny's diner, this isn't that. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? You're going to give her attitude after what you just did? Like, oh, it's so mad. And he's like, oh, you're delusional.
Oh.
No, she's not delusional. She's not. She knows what's up, and you deserve to be punched in the face.
True.
And I'm kind of upset that Emma's not going to tell Belle anyway. Like, no one's going to tell Belle again. Like, they're just going to let her be in her own little stupid bubble. I'm like, that's not fair to her. Like, someone should tell her. Like, write her a note.
Like,
send her a text.
Like, regardless of whether Emma needed something from Rumpel, yeah, I feel like she should have just, like, told Belle. Like, just you know... Just an FYI. So I understand why she wouldn't do it before they left, because that was, like, her only leverage against him. Like,
yeah, I get that.
If she told Belle, he wasn't going to help them. So, like, then she would just have to find a way to, you know, get his blood and whatever. But I don't think she knew that. She didn't know that that's how you get the portal open. So they needed him to open it. So yeah, I just feel like, oh, it's annoying. But... we'll deal with it for now. Though I, like, as much as I am, like, pissed about whatever happened to Rumpel, I do think that the underworld wouldn't be half as interesting if he didn't come along and he wasn't evil again. Because if he was, like, trying to be this BS, like, redeemed crap, like, and then he had to face all these people in the underworld, like, I feel like it wouldn't be as interesting. But now it's like, oh, he's still evil and bad. And, oh, look, now he has to face all these people that he wrongs in the underworld. I mean, same with Regina, but that's different. You know, she actually is, at this point, pretty much redeemed.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see how they all react to, like, having to face these people from their past. Like, obviously, Snow's going to have to face Korra, because, hello. Like,
yeah.
Who knows? Like, whoever else. But, like, Rumpel's got a whole list. A lot of people.
A lot of smashed snails in his past.
Majority of the underworld is occupied thanks to Rumpel, so...
Yeah, between Rumpel and Regina.
And I did see today that it's not just like their version of the underworld isn't literally, it's not like exclusively like hell. Like, it's not like, oh,
no.
This is where all the bad people go. It's like literally like,
and it's never been that. It's just where people go. And
it's always been like a where like all souls go like to move on kind of thing. And now it's going to be the
I read in the interview with Adam and Eddie that it's people with unfinished business. So that made me wonder, like, what if Hook doesn't have any unfinished business because he got to die a hero, he got to save everybody, and
I think even though he died a hero, he still has unfinished business with people. Like obviously
he's gonna be down there, but I wonder if it's gonna be harder to find him or something, or he's gonna be in another layer of the underworld or whatever, because like, I don't know.
Yeah, like I assume they're gonna have to like battle their way through like the different like levels of hell to get to him. I think that obviously from what we saw in the preview, like the underworld, it's gonna manifest itself like in the form of Storybrooke. Like, it's all gonna be like,
it's like
that,
a alternate universe.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, oh, they're going to this kind of dark, weird, mysterious place that we don't know about. It's like,
they can't afford that CGI.
Yeah, we can't afford that. It's true. We
can't
afford
too much CGI.
We can't afford the CGI except for the handful of scenes that Colin O'Donoghue has shot thus far for Once Upon a Time, which have all been in a studio. So pretty much means that they're all green screen. And he's probably with Hades, chilling, you know, like he does. Just waiting for the bay to rescue him, you know. Fine. I like how it's just a casual family vacation. Like, hey, casual family vacay. We're going to go rescue my bay. Let's go. Like,
can I go rescue my son-in-law and my friend? And I do love how they showed everybody's reaction. To him dying, because it just like really punched me in the chest a little more. I know someone made a gift set. Satan made a gift set of them, and it was like all the Captain Cobra flashbacks, like all the Captain Cobra scenes, and then it was like Henry watching him die. I was like, oh my god, can we not?
Someone also pointed out the fact that Henry's father figure has always died. Okay, so he didn't have a father. Then he hung out with Emma, and Graham was kind of tagging along. So then he's like, oh, he looks up to Graham. Graham dies. Then he finds out he thinks his dad is a firefighter, died a hero. Cool, now he has a hero to look up to. Meets his real dad, starts to bond with him. He, quote-unquote, dies. Then he finds out he's not dead, and then he dies for real. And then he's hanging out with Hook. Goes to the AU, has to watch Hook die so that they can all go back to real life, and then bonds with Hook some more in Camelot, and then literally has to watch him die for real. Like, I'm like, this kid's like 11 years old, 12 years old.
Like, just this poor kid. And, I mean, if you want to get technical, he had to watch Robin die too, kinda.
Same.
Almost.
Same. So it's like
almost he got stabbed. And, like, him and Emma have just been put through the ringer when it comes to lovers and father figures. Like,
yeah.
So
like, people
sad.
That they love. Like, it's so sad. But especially, so, yeah, when they show Henry, like, it just really clicked. Like, I mean, I knew, especially when they came up with that whole, like, Operation Light Swan, I was like, oh, my God, they're, like, bonding for real. Like, I knew the little sailing lessons before, like, they were cute little moments. But this just, like, solidifying that they actually had, like, a real relationship with each other. Like, more than just, like, the babysitting that Hook did. Like, this was real. Like, family real. And I just, like, was so just distraught when they showed. And just the fact that, like, Robin looked so, like, just, you know, sad.
He had his ugly cry.
Like,
Robin had his ugly cry face on.
Yeah, and then Regina looked
and,
so, like sad. For her son, obviously, and for Emma, and just, and Killian, too, because as much as she taunts him, I feel like she does understand and respect him in some way.
Yeah.
they have, like, a loose respect and understanding for each other, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically, like, the same character. Like, they have so many parallels, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, it's... One thing I did realize when Hook killed his father is, like, he's such a man that acts on his emotions, and he is very spur-of-the-moment with his emotions. So... I think that's, like, why he killed his father, and then obviously he must have regretted it afterwards because Regina said, oh, you're going to regret this for your whole life, which will mean forever, when I'm... She was obviously referring to him killing his father.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't blame him.
Still regretted it.
Yeah. I don't blame him for killing his father because he had just renamed his third son after the first one, and he... And he was so betrayed. And then, like, to watch, like, his father say the same crap to the third kid. And he's like, oh, my God, my dad's still going to do this crap again. Which I don't know if he was or not, because I don't trust anybody on this show anymore, like, father figure-wise, or people with kids, other than, like, Emma and Regina. Like, Rumpelstiltskin, like, he always went back on his word. So I'm like, I don't know if you were telling the truth or not. We didn't really get to see enough of him see if he really would have brought his son.
Yeah, and I feel like the worst part was, like, the fact, like, oh, dude literally sold his son into, like, indentured servitude, which makes a lot of sense when you think about, like, okay, Killian hated being the Dark One because he was the Dark One, but then take it a step further, and when he reacts to being, like, controlled, like, now it makes sense, because
it makes so much
sense. Sold into, like, slavery by his own father. Like, holy crap, like, that whole thing.
And he was abandoned.
Just blew it all open. Like,
yeah.
Everything made so much more sense, like, in terms of why he reacted so violently to, like, Emma trying to control him. Like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's like, you were forced against your will to be the Dark One, blah, 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 but it's like, okay, it just comes with the territory. And she doesn't mean it. But the fact that he, like, knows what it's like to, like, have no choice in the matter and things that happened in his life, it's like, oh, it just, it all made so much more sense. And
the fact that he always fought so hard to make sure that Emma never felt abandoned by him, and to make sure that he always kept his word with Emma, because his father abandoned him.
Yeah.
And
like,
he's always had her back, and he's never left her or abandoned her. And, like, even when he said it in the last episode, he's like, I never abandoned you. Like, the emotion in his voice hurts so much more watching it now, because now that you've seen the flashback with his father, it's like, I just have to give super mega props to Colin, because he switched his Hook so many times, because you have Dark Hook, and then you have conflicted Dark Hook, and then you have Killian, who broke through at the end, but then you also have Captain Hook from the past. Like, this whole episode was such a range of acting for him, and it was amazing. And Jennifer's acting was amazing, as usual, and it just kills me every time.
I know. It was, yeah, it probably was one of the, like, in terms of, like, emotional things and just, like, everything that happened, I feel like this episode is, like, head and shoulders above the rest in terms of, like, just everything that has happened. Like, obviously, in terms of, like, painful things, like, we have our favorite, like, oh, episodes that make us, like, flail in happiness, like the mini movie and all the other things that we love so much.
Yeah.
But this is, like, in a league of its own. Like, it was so emotional and just, like, like, they've never really done anything like that before. Like, I know that, like, okay, like, when Snow and Charming had to, like, they wanted to cast the curse, and, like, Snow had to crush his heart and whatever. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I bawled during that, too, because, holy crap, like, they're, like, true love, and she has to, like, kill him so that they can get back to their, you know, daughter, all this stuff. So, like, I feel like that's, like, the closest it comes is when that happens. But this was, like, even more so. Like, it was, like, okay, you expect that of the Charmings. Like, you expect Charming to be like, oh, no, like, I'll sacrifice myself so you can find our daughter, and then our new child can, like, you know, be safe and whatever. Like, you expect that because he's, like, Prince Charming. Like, that just part of the persona. But when it's, like, Emma, who, like, has come so far from being so broken, and then she literally has to stab him through the chest, like, after she's watched so many people that she loves die, like, oh, my God.
I wrote that in my notes. Like, that's what I wrote. I'm like, Emma has come so far, and I'm so proud of her, and it hurts so much.
It was just a lot to deal with and a lot of emotions. And I'm still kind of in shock. Though at this point, like, at least we have, like, the sliver of hope that we know that, like, they're going to find him. Like, and that he's going to, obviously, they're not saying that he's going to come back in terms of, like, whether or not they're going to save him. But come on, the whole freaking show is based on hope. They basically said that their whole thing this next half of the season is, what happens when you try and bring hope to, like, the land where people are hopeless and, like, you know, the underworld? So I feel like, obviously, in the end, it's going to be a lot of, like, angsty stuff. But hopefully by episode 20 or 21 or 22, like, there will be some kind of happy resolve. And maybe we'll get some flashbacks that are not so painful to happier times.
Yeah. Like, just that entire scene, like, I've been rewatching it over and over and just dissecting the crap out of it because it's what I do when I watch something horrible. But, like, his little half-smile and his reassurance, like, he tried to give her a smile, like, it's okay, and he said, it's okay. He's like, you can, like, do it. And he, like, gave her, like, a little tiny nod of reassurance. I was like, oh, my God, like,
And the fact that he sit there an extra 10 seconds to, like, you know, literally stare him down and, like, you could tell how hard she was, like, trying to fight it, having to do it. Like, just the fact that, well, for starters, one, when he kind of came to and said, like, Nimue was like, you can't defeat us. And he was like, you know what? No, I can. Like, it reminds me of how, like, Emma asked, like, way back if someone could use, like, the darkness for, like, good. And Merlin said, well, that person would have to be very strong to, like, be able to resist the darkness. So it was like,
I know it's what you're talking about, because I saw that.
Emma was strong enough, too, like, in a way that she kind of deceived the darkness for so long and kind of, like, haphazardly kind of got her way to doing what was right. But, like, Hook literally, like, stopped, like, dead in his tracks, like, was literally doing the, like, the evilest thing anyone could ever think of. And he literally just stopped, like, at the drop of a hat and said, no, like, I'm not going to do this. And then he, like, turned around and changed it all. So I'm just like, oh, that's just just crazy to me. I love it because, like, it's like the most heroic thing that has ever happened on the show.
His redemption arc was, like, to be a hero, and he finally did it.
This was the completion of his, like, full redemption, like, and it started and ended with, like,
to destroy the dark.
And then it ended with him destroying the dark one. Well, so he thought. But for him,
that's
at least, he thought he destroyed the darkness. So in terms of, like, absolution, he has reached full potential and full catharsis of all this stuff. So it's okay. Kuro Rumble did.
Yeah.
He died a hero, and he died redeemed, and it's all that matters. But yeah, I agree. How it was like, just their whole exchange, like, when the sword is, like, shaking, and he's like, I can't hold on for, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to hold on, and she's like,
and they grab it together.
And I'm, like, losing my mind, because I was, like, crying, and I'm just like, she's like, I don't want to lose you. And he's like, I don't want to lose you either. I'm just like, stop. Why are you making this so much more painful? It's just so hard. And, just thinking about it makes me cry.
And then he got to see her as Emma one last time. Like, that's all that was running through my mind. When she reverted back to herself and her red jacket. And his hair went back to the parted on the right side. And I was like,
but not dark side. That was like, oh my God. That was just too perfect of a little touch that literally he went back
yeah,
to being,
yeah, I
kind of
giggled
the,
a little bit at that when his hair was parted on the correct side again. laughing through my tears.
I know. And then the fact that, like I said, literally the moment that broke me was when he looked at her and said, like, you were right, I was weak, like, I gave it to the darkness, so let me make up for it by being strong now, like, let me die a hero, so, like, that's the man I want you to remember. I'm just like, I think that was the moment where I literally lost it, like,
yeah.
I like, hearing off until that point, but at that point, I literally was just like, the dam broke loose, and I was sobbing, because I just was like,
yep.
That's like the most heartbreaking
thing. Everybody was.
Everybody was.
Yeah, I was
like,
sobbing. Sarah was sobbing. We were all sobbing. If you're a Captain Spawn fan, you basically were there. Everyone was crying. There's not a dry eye to be found.
And if at this point you still are like in the realm of thinking that they are not some kind of couple that is going to be together or
you know, true love,
get your head out of your butt at this point, because hello, like, after that, if you're still going to be in denial, I'm sorry, but you need some help, and I'm not going to be able to provide it for you, because, like, how could you watch that and still not believe that they are true love, like, an epic, like, the most epic of the love stories on this show at this point, because literally, like, things that Snow and Charming have done, this is, like, leaps and bounds above that at this point. I just, like, I just want to shake people. Like, how can you not see? Like, how do you look with your eyes? Like, do you not see what's going on? Like,
exactly.
Oh, like, shift whatever you want out of what's happening in the show. Like, I really could care less about, like, what makes you happy at night. Like, good for you. Like, I don't care. But at least admit what's happening on the show and, like, just deal with it. Like, don't try to pretend it's not real when it's clearly real and right in front of you. But, like, whatever you ship at night, like, in the comfort of your own home, like, good for you. Like, more power to you. Like, I'm all for, like, crack ships and having fun and whatever. Like, do what you want.
I have
do
a
what
lot of crack ships in this fandom, but
there
is.
So I'm just like, as long as you acknowledge that what is happening on the show is what is real and everything else is just something that you do for fun, that's all I ask. I'm okay with everything else. We're not.
Yeah.
There's no haterade over here. We're just saying, look with your eyes and kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. The thing. Okay. So she laid him down on the ground and was crying on top of him, and I was crying. And then we had a commercial break. I was like, okay. I'm like, okay, we're done. We're done with it. No, we're not done. Because come back from commercial break, they called the paramedics, which have never, ever showed up in Storybrooke, I think, since, like, the car accident.
I know.
Greg Mandel. I was like, why would you call the paramedics? That's so stupid.
I know.
What are you doing? And then they're covering him with a sheet.
I know. Normally Charming just kind of goes to the sheriff's car and, like, finds a sheet and covers people up. Like,
yeah.
I was like, there's paramedics here? Like, what? When? They don't ever call the paramedics.
I was a bawling mess. Like, I just lost it again. Like, I got it together during the commercial break, and then I saw him on the gurney, and I just burst out crying again. I was like, oh, my God.
I know. Especially because of the
fact
that
she didn't
want to,
like, go over his hand.
And, like, literally the only reason she let go is because the cart was so far away from her that his hand fell out of hers. Like, she didn't let go.
And Snow wasn't letting her go with him. Like, they were holding her back, Snow and Charming. Like, and then when she went to cry on Snow's shoulder and Snow says, like, I'm sorry, my baby, I was like, oh, like.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
All of the feelings.
I don't know if she said I'm sorry, but she definitely said my baby. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw her say, like, my baby or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, this is not even fair. Like. Okay, and then this brings me back, which I had literally just said this to you, like, 10 minutes before I started doing the show, is, like, I saw this thing on Twitter where it was, like, a reference back to the beginning of the season when they were all, like, gung-ho, we gotta destroy the darkness, and then they say, oh, but remember, if we win, Emma loses. I'm like, you didn't even know what you were saying back then, but
you
oh
don't
my
even
God,
know.
She lose. She lost worse than I think if she would have died, like, honestly. Like, she would have been okay with that. This is, like, a whole other thing. She literally had to kill
the man that she loves. Like, not, like, let him die. So not be able to save him. She literally had no other choice but to kill him. Like,
yeah. It was horrible. And I never want to go through it again.
I know. Like, let's, from this point on, like, once they get back from the underworld, I'm like, okay, if it's not smooth sailing for these two people, I'm going to be, like, sure, they can have their little...
I think it's going to be very angsty for a while.
Well, yeah. It's going to be... Because when they get back...
They're going to have to deal with the underworld and everything he said.
Yeah, because obviously now we know that everything he said he meant in some way.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he...
He meant it, but he said it in the worst way he possibly could.
Yeah, like, he said it all to hurt her. Like, obviously, I don't think that... Like, that's something that he thought...
She's not a blonde distraction.
Yeah.
But I think he meant, like, he meant the puppy comment, and he meant that he hurt... She hurt him, and how he... always had to stand behind her, but she never stood behind him. Like, he meant those things, but I think some of the other stuff he, like, just kind of jabbed at her just to jab at her.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things that he said, like, he took the painful emotions he was feeling and he twisted it into what he knew was going to hurt her. Because he wanted to hurt her back just bad. Like, that doesn't mean he necessarily meant that he thought she was a distraction. Because, like, Colin has said in interviews that he still thinks that as the Dark One, he still has potential to love Emma. And I still think he still did love her, but he was just...
He did, like, because when he went to take the scalpel from her, he's like, I can't let you kill yourself. I was like, all right.
And
even as the Dark One.
That's why it hurt that much worse. Because it would have been different if it would have been somebody else who portrayed him. Then he could have just lashed out and been, like, mean. But no, this was literally, like, she still loved this person more than anything. And she betrayed him, like, more than anyone ever had in his whole life. So, like, and turned him into the thing he hated more than anything. So I feel like, yes, he deep down still was clearly in love with her and still is. But he just was so hurt, like, beyond comprehension at that point, that all he was doing was just kind of lashing out. And, doing things to hurt her, because he knew how. Like, he knew her so well that he knew exactly how to hurt her. So, yeah,
exactly.
I feel like they're definitely going to deal with all of that and all the repercussions, but I'm sure it'll be, like, when they first get back together, it'll be like, oh my god, we're so happy that we're all safe and, you know, happy. And then it's going to come, like, the slow things are going to creep in, like, oh, well, you said this, and... Do you still trust me?
Yeah, they're definitely going to be their stubborn, in denial selves for a bit. Like, oh, if everything's fine, I'm just happy, okay, let's not worry about it. And then they're going to have a conversation or two. And if they don't, I'm going to be mad because I need more angst, even though I'm in pain.
I'm feeling that what if in the underworld, like, they obviously, like, in terms of, like, having unfinished business, what if part of getting him back is them, like,
hashing
everything out. Like, kind of like how it was in the Echo Cave with Neil and Emma. Like, the only way they opened the cage was for her to, like, admit the true feelings that she had deep down inside her. I feel like what if there's something, not exactly like that, but something similar, where, like, they both had to, like, admit the things that they don't want to bring back up again. Like, they have to face the things that they're, like, avoiding. So I hope that they use this as a time to kind of help men, like, I hope they don't just wait till they're back. Like, I hope they, like, they're, like, once they get to him and are trying to rescue him, like, they both kind of have to face things down there that kind of bring them back to a point of getting better when they're back, like, more so than just, like, oh, they're back and now they're going to start rebuilding. Like, I hope it happens while they're on their journey back to the land of the living.
I don't know. I agree. Another thing I thought was, I was rewatching it again before the show, and Rumble said that the souls are on, like, a travel visa. It's like a timed visit. So I'm wondering if it's going to be the same thing in the underworld, where they have a limited amount of time until they can get out, or if they get sucked back out, or
like
whatever.
Kind of like how in Hercules, how he literally only had so much time before, like, he got sucked down into the underworld on, you know, like, on his own. And like,
oh my god, what if they start
that,
like, slowly dying?
They start slowly like decomposing.
Not like zombie dying, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, they start getting all like looking. No, I don't think it'll be like that. I feel like they probably will have some kind of time when it's not like they can just wander the underworld forever until they find him. Like, I'm sure there's some kind of time window on, like, when people's unfinished business, like, how quickly they resolve it, and, you know, because I don't know how they're going to do it, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Another thing that completely murdered me was when she was laying on the couch holding his ring.
Oh, my God.
That he
the
gave
ring.
Her. The ring that he gave her and then died the same day.
Oh, yeah, that ring. The time he died the first time.
The time he died the second time. First time.
Technically, at this point, the third time he died, but the first time was a fake death in an alternate universe. So,
yeah.
We are on Killian Death number 3, and this time it is real.
It is real.
On his way. And, they're on his way to save him, so it's all good.
Which is another thing to add on to the... no doubt in my mind that they are true love, and OTP is, she's literally marching into hell to drag his ass back. like literally marching in, like, on a
part
mission.
Part of me thinks that even if Rumble hadn't screwed them over, she still would have come up with this idea regardless. Like, she would have realized, like, hey, he, like, did what he had to do, but I can't live without him, and I need to go bring him back. Like, I feel like she probably would have come to that conclusion regardless of Rumple, you know, whatever he did. Like, I feel like she would have gone to save him even if Rumple didn't screw them all over.
Yeah, I agree. And she said the snowing line.
Oh,
I guess
God.
The charming family line.
As if I thought I wasn't already wrecked enough, she had to go and say that she would always find him, which to me is like the line of the show. Like, honestly,
like better than saying that.
Show, like, yeah, when I first started watching the show, like, that was the line that, like, sold me. I was like, oh my God, like, that is the most romantic thing I have ever heard. It is, like, the most, like, devotional thing I've ever heard. Like, so much so that my friend and I, who, like, bond, well, we were already friends, but she kind of introduced me to the show, and, like, so that's, like, our, like, little thing as, like, best friends. Like, that's, we tell each other that, and it's, like, just, it just means so much to me personally that when she said that, I was like, oh my God. Like, I already knew there were parallels between Charming and Captain Swan, but that just, like, boom, like, final nail in the coffin for me. I was like,
literally nail in the coffin. That's my pun for
like
tonight.
Literal coffin.
Literal coffin with nails and a Killian-sized hole in our chest.
And then they showed his grave in the promo for the...
I knew that was going to be his grave. I saw those spoiler pics a while ago, and everyone's like, oh, it's just Killian. Oh, my God, he's going to die. I'm like, well, first off, we knew he was going to die. Second off, of course he's going to have a grave. But I'm like... Is it in the under? Like, why does the underworld have graves? And then I was kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I have a feeling it's gonna be one of those things where like the underworld manifests itself as different things to different people. So like, Emma's gonna have to like see his grave and like deal with that. I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be kind of like a Neverland thing where they're like forced to face their, you know, inner demons. But like this time it's more they were forced to face their external demons who are residing in the underworld.
I'm so excited for March 6th, which is
90
like...
90 days away. It is 90 days away.
I'm glad you got that, because I was going to do math in my head, but...
I already have to
Emily's on top of it, guys. Emily,
I made it this morning. I was like, I did the exact last year. I was like, okay, it's probably this time to make a countdown. Like, whoop, 90 days away. Oh, boy. Like, exactly 3 months.
All right. I think that wraps it up. I could cry all night about this.
If you need us, we will just be crying until March 6th.
You can find us on Twitter.
If you need us during the hiatus, you can find me at Rachel EP, which is RaeChelEP. And Emily, where can people find you on the interweb?
My Twitter is at M-E-M Kanopka, which is my last name. It's K-O-N-O-P-K-A. You can just find us on Twitter, and you can cry with us forever for the next 3 months.
Yes, I will talk to anybody about anything once on time. So send us some tweets. We're under 140 characters.
As Rachel will tell you, pretty much all of our text message conversations are a lot of flailing, a lot of feels, and at every
hour. Yeah, I don't know what Emily does. I don't talk to Emily unless that one's fun by him. I don't even know what she does. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
but, yeah, so we will see you guys in March. As always, be sure to check out Variety Radio Online. VRO.com. Like us on Facebook at Variety Radio Online. Follow us on Twitter at the VRO. And follow us on Instagram, Tumblr at Variety Radio Online. And we're also over on Audio Boom, so be sure to check us out there as well. All right. It's going to be a long 3 months, guys, so hang in there, and we will hopefully talk to you soon, and hopefully it'll go by faster than.
Yeah.
Last time,
and we will keep you updated via Facebook and our website of casting things we find out about, or, you know, non-spoiler things that we can share. So
yes,
don't worry. We've got your back.
Yes. We are here for you during the hiatus. We should start a helpline. Hiatus helpline. All right. We will see you in 90 days. Well, 91.
Woo!
But yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.